I want to talk a little bit about the phenomenon of policy and how that can actually influence our transportation choices. And I know this is something that is also being discussed at great length in the city of Victoria in terms of our policy choices, in terms of building cities that are better conducive to walkable neighborhoods, walkable communities. Why is that important? It's important because if we can get around without taking the car or the truck as often as we do, the incidental benefit for all of us is fewer carbon dioxide emissions, hopefully while maintaining our economic output in terms of GDP, as well as better... what's the word I'm searching for? Better deploying the resources we have to get the most benefit that we can while reducing our pollution where possible, if that makes sense. A carrot and stick approach, according to new research, is what has resulted in the largest emissions drops within Europe. So it's not all punishment, it's not all punitive, but it's not all benefits, it's not all carrots either. Countries across the world have come together in recognizing, the release says, the need to curb greenhouse gas emissions and target a net zero future within approximately 30 years. Question remains, though, what policies will enable these countries, including us, to effectively reach 2050 goals? Here to talk about this, we are joined by Felix Priehus, assistant professor, Department of Economics, UVic, also coordinator of the Oxford University Project Climate Econometrics. Thank you so much for your time, Professor. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Help us understand what we mean when we talk about a carrot and a stick approach making for the largest emissions reductions in Europe.
Yeah, basically what we're aiming for is governments have agreed to look at net zero targets to stabilize temperatures. But of course, how we get to those, that's less clear. They face a myriad of policy options from carbon pricing, road tolls, green spending, vehicle subsidies. But we can also think of a command and control measures such as speed limits or efficiency standards. And the policymakers are basically facing this choice of what to implement, not really knowing which policy will be effective. And traditionally, how these policies have been evaluated was in isolation. So we look at one policy and see what happened to emissions afterwards. We kind of turned this around and said, let's look at where we see dramatic changes in emissions and then try to attribute those to policies that happened. And what we saw when we applied this approach to EU road transportation emissions was basically policy mixes that combined this carrot and stick were leading to effective emission reductions. What do we mean by carrot and stick?
Yeah.
Basically measures that increase the cost of driving while at the same time kind of providing subsidies to switch to greener, lower emissions vehicles. So rather than just imposing the carbon pricing or just imposing basically things that make driving more expensive, also to provide this kind of carrot, as you mentioned, like not just punitive measures approach for policy.
When we talk about the proportion of carrot versus the proportion of stick, is there a pattern emerging in terms of how much subsidy versus how much, say, a tax to internalize those external factors?
That's a great question. I think there's a lot of uncertainty because countries are quite different in their kind of availability of public transport, et cetera. Like if we look at BC, for example, the carbon tax when it was introduced in the transport sector maybe reduced emissions by around 5 to 10%. So that's something, but it's not huge. In Europe, we've seen some kind of increases of existing carbon prices leading to reductions of around up to 26% in terms of emissions. Whether there's a clear trade-off between, you know, the stick and the carrot, I think we'll need more research. But the evidence is there basically that there is effective climate policy out there, and it primarily seems to be driven by policy mixes that basically provide this kind of increase the cost of driving and at the same time provide an alternative, basically provide subsidies.
Can we talk about modeling this effect to the point where we're at net zero? Because I can understand how there might be some substitution that takes place in terms of the changing relative costs. Has anybody actually modeled this to the point where we get to net zero and it works?
Yeah. Again, a great question. Like with looking at these, the effectiveness of these policies, we're kind of stuck with looking backwards. So we look at countries that introduced carbon pricing or subsidies or so in the past, and then we see these emission reductions. Of course, we filter out the effects of recessions. We also allow for countries to behave differently overall, and we look at the effects relative to control countries that don't have these policies in place. So we are quite careful in how we model this. Of course, when we then extrapolate it into the future, if we say like a 26% reduction, that is not a 100% reduction. That does not get us to net zero yet. So we're kind of stuck there by saying, okay, you know, we've seen some success. We're hoping this goes forward, but we can combine it with forecasts of technological progress in the past or some behavioral models to see where that gets us. And, you know, realistically, the target of net zero by 2050 is going to be hard. But I would advocate, like, let's aim for that. And then if we don't quite make it, if we overshoot by a couple of years, not the end of the world, but better than that we target that and end up slightly over than not trying at all.
How do we model when we take a look at something like European Union countries, the difference between emissions that are actually reduced versus emissions that might just be displaced through economic leakage from jurisdictions that have looser regulatory frameworks, having the emissions part component of, say, manufacturing outsourced to there? How do we model that?
Yeah, we have pretty good data on differentiating between sort of pure domestic CO2 emissions and the ones that kind of get shifted because of manufacturing. And actually, the impact there isn't too different. Like, if you look at some of the data for even for Canada, the you know, kind of production versus consumption-based emissions, it's not too different. We have good observations on that. Of course, with policies, it does matter. Like Europe, especially lots of small countries, if one country introduces a road toll, that might lead to some drivers basically bypassing that country entirely. So we have to be careful with that and take that into account. But what was nice that came out of the study is basically we saw success across a whole range of European countries, and that the success stories that we saw were pretty consistent. And it was basically this combination of, you know, let's make driving more expensive, but at the same time, don't just punish the drivers and the general public, but offer them a way out by basically offering a subsidy or some green spending along those lines.
A reasonable mixture, ladies and gentlemen, a policy equivalent of carrot and stick, according to new research, could be the optimal path forward in achieving emissions reductions while at the same time preserving economic activity. Our guest is Felix Priedis, Assistant Professor, Department of Economics, University of Victoria, Co-Director of the Oxford University Project Climate Econometrics. Professor, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Any final thoughts?
Thanks for having me. I think the final thought is, you know, the stick has to be large enough. We have a carbon tax in place in BC. It's reduced some emissions in transportation, but nowhere near enough. So it basically needs to go up.
All right. Thanks for your time, Professor. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Bye now.